would want to go see a movie called Civil War thinking that it's going to glorify, you know, their boy.
I've started recording, by the way.
It didn't. I don't think it glorified anything. There was a scene at the beginning where people in New York are waiting in line for water. There's like a big water truck and everybody's got buckets and water bottles and stuff to fill up. And these people are pushing and shoving. And finally it gets to the point where the people kind of get out of control and the police that are there to keep order start just wailing on people to keep them back. And all I can see from the whole scene is like, yeah, they're beating on the people that are pushing and shoving. That is how they're trained to react, I guess. But the grossest part, I thought, were the swarms of, like, flies of journalists. There were, like, 6 or 7 people that are just, like, in the middle of these fights just taking pictures. And people are, like, ignoring them. And I'm just like, okay, I understand the necessity to document this occurrence. But you're just taking pictures of other journalists at this point. You're taking pictures of other people documenting. You know, it's like you're taking a picture of 6 people documenting one guy. It just didn't seem. It made everybody look absurd, the whole movie did. Nobody, I think, comes out the good guy or the thinker of the group. You know what I mean?
I do.
All right.
I mean, there's only really ever one good guy, though.
Well, Brad made a point. They said going to the Capitol, Washington, D.C., we'll get you shot on the South Lawn because that's what they do to journalists. And the journalists are kind of embedded with the opposing side to what Washington is. So by the way the story is told, we're led to believe that the group they're with are the quote-unquote good guys. But they are just as bad as the other ones. So, I don't know. Fallout was much more entertaining.
That's so good.
You know what? What both surprised me and pleased me?
What's that?
You don't get the Fallout tagline until the 8th episode.
Yeah.
The war never changes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that at all in a Fallout product until the last episode. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah. It was just, I don't know. Yeah, I think they did an excellent job of pacing that story. Because there were kind of 4 points of view. That became 2 points of view, or 3 at least. Because you had the ghouls, both memories and current state. And then you had Lucy's quest. And you had Maximus's journey. And then you had, I forget her brother's name, Peter? I don't know. His discoveries in the vault.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool because he, you know, from the beginning, he was not a action guy. but that he was really, I don't know, taking risks by the end.
Yeah, I liked his growth arc.
Yeah, he had an arc. Maximus, I don't think, changed much. He just, his circumstances changed.
Yeah.
Lucy changed. And I'm not sure the ghoul changed at all.
The ghoul, I don't think, changed, but I think our perspective on the ghoul changed.
Yes. Yes.
Because they painted him as just an absolute monster in the beginning. But then, as it went on, it became really clear. He's just a man on a mission.
Yeah.
It's just been a really long mission.
It was less him becoming more relaxed or human or whatever, and more how Lucy slowly understood his point of view and slowly moved towards his, maybe not his methods, maybe not his goals, but became okay with his methods. But yeah, I thought they did a really good job of illustrating that game in a live action rendition. There were even the two-headed cows.
Yeah.
And everything in there. I mean, there was some shit I was surprised to see. And there was some shit I was horrified to see. The what the hell was it called? Jimmy Limbs?
Yeah.
That was fucking horrific. She took that thing and just shaved his leg like a pencil and then stuck that thing on it. Oh, God. That was so awesome.
Yeah, that was...
That was some horrific shit. But yeah, had a good time. Chad's not here, so I can't talk about the other horror that he made put me through. That was, oh God.
Sorry.
No, he's got a lot to answer for, and I'm sorry. So bad it's good ain't gonna cover it.
Okay.
Have you watched that trash heap?
I have not.
I would love a second opinion, but I won't ask you to do it. It's... You can usually tell the quality of a movie by the lack of wide shots.
Okay.
And if they keep the camera tight on the character, either like collarbone up when they're talking all the time, it means they don't have a budget to change anything around the character. They don't have, you know, any money to put, or they didn't have any thought to vary it up. But usually that's a telltale sign, at least for me, that now this is not going to be good. And it wasn't.
Okay.
How far are you caught up on Critical Role?
Yes.
Okay, I am not.
Well, okay, I have not seen the most recent episode, but I know what happens, which is...
I saw somebody's fan art, so I know something bad happens. I don't think... I don't want to talk about it. I don't want details, but I think I know something bad happens. But, I just got through Ashton's fuck up.
Oh, okay.
And they just landed in the Fey realm. afterwards.
They're on their retreat.
They're on their sabbatical. Yeah.
Their corporate trust retreat. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust falls and whatever.
That whole sequence is fucking wild. The follow-up episode after his fuck up where they're doing the activities.
Where they're all separate?
Where they're doing the activities.
No, the either the episode directly following his fuck up or the night directly following his fuck up, where Lana goes off into her old lair.
Okay. So you're just before.
No. I'm past that. They just arrived in the Fey Realm. I haven't seen much happen in the Fey Realm yet.
Okay.
I'm not through that episode yet. But that scene with Laudna in her lair or her refuge, whatever she called it, that was some of the best role playing I've seen Marisha Ray do. Because she actually felt like Laudna there. She felt like she was playing the character. Just because this is coming right off the betrayal of their companion when they were all split up. And then he does this. Yeah, she's not in a good space.
No, she's not.
And Fern continues to delight. Ashley Johnson is a treasure. I absolutely love her. I come out of the frame and I take me and my awesome tits back into fucking losing my shit. And I'm like, what she said? Oh God. Travis is still the king though. I love Chetney.
Yeah.
His lack of humility and poor understanding of read the room, you know, perfect timing is just a delight. But yeah, I'm having fun catching up. I'm like on I can look it up here. YouTube, I'm sure I'll have my history. There it is. Like 78 or 79.
Oh yeah, you are.
I'm catching up.
Absolutely, yeah. Catching up.
I can't say I'm like absolutely hanging on every word on every episode because it's a lot of times playing in the background. But
it's fun.
Yeah, 70. I just finished 78, so I must be watching 79.
It is. I don't know. This campaign is fun. They are all monsters.
That and Sam's line, because Liam wasn't there, and they're all talking about, wow, Lawton's really fucked up. Oh, Fern is even upset. And then Sam's like, yeah, and this is the quietest Orm's ever been. Oh, God. Yeah, kills me.
Liam does.
One thing I do like, I can fast forward through all the ads and the opening announcements and just kind of like tear right into the story.
Liam does have some shit to say when he is back in the next episode.
Yeah, he's always been a really great role player. He's always committed to his characters. Vaxel Dan wasn't that deep, I think, because I don't think he had room to be that deep. That their first campaign, they weren't really like that. They had some tearjerkers and they had some character moments, but I thought campaign two was really where they really started to do drama better, I guess. And Caleb definitely had some depth to him.
I don't know. I think it can. I think it definitely continues into what they're doing now.
Oh no, I'm
Like
not
it's
saying
just,
it. I think that's when it started. I'm not saying they're not doing it now.
yeah, and they've.
I think that's when it really kicked off. I think because there's a lot of episodes where a lot of shit happens, but Matt really wasn't steering it. It was all them and their characters back and forth and just interacting, reacting to whatever the other guy was doing. But kind of makes me want to run. Not just a one shot, run a little campaign, get some characters developed in a campaign for a little bit, but I don't have an idea for one. Usually it's just bullshit when I do that. Slowly, quickly degrades into whistle bitch and prestidigitation, potty humor.
I can't say I'm much better. I have an idea. I have an idea for like a multi-episode, like a multi-part thing, but I don't know that it would be necessarily a full-on campaign.
Well, no, I don't think we're we play 2 hours once a week, so.
Think what we do fits perfect with how we do it.
Agreed, agreed. But we're not gonna really hardcore role play. I don't think that's
We can, and we sometimes do. We get some, I mean, we've got recurring characters we use, and it seems like the more we use those, the more we sort of flesh them out.
yeah. But again, those were campaigns where we weren't in a dungeon and we were doing a little more, I don't want to say serious work, but more role play stuff rather than just event stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like,
Oh, I hear Dylan jump in.
I have no
Yeah,
idea.
man.
Hey.
What's up to Dylan?
How's it going? I also watched VelociPastor today, and Chad's not here to talk about it.
I mean, there was no
Yeah.
expectation he was gonna be.
Well, I
Yeah.
know, but still.
Do you feel like he owes you an hour and 20 minutes?
I mean, honestly, the whole time I was watching that, I was like, hey, we could totally make a movie just as good as this.
I would dare say we can make one better.
I mean, when it's the first couple of minutes, it just starts with like
Place
visual
visual effects
effects, car on
here.
fire, as it just plays like a generic chestnuts roasting like sound in the background.
And soon as they show the ninja camp,
Oh yeah, it's like he only had one Chinese friend because I'm pretty sure it's the same guy later on.
As soon as they showed that and they showed the blonde kid with the bandana, I thought it was the hooker's brother.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, that's going to be the hooker's brother.
I just liked how that one yard
And I
of
have to
both
call her a hooker,
Vietnam.
even though that's horrible because that's the word they chose.
Right.
Not prostitute, not sex worker, hooker.
Well, they made the guy specifically scream out bitches and hookers and whatever like a bunch of
Yeah.
times.
Jimmy the
No.
mermaid because he's swimming in
Yeah.
bitches. God fucking
But I
A.
love the yard was Vietnam and China and the park.
Yeah.
Like the woods were all the same.
Yeah, it looked like the woods behind my house, and it just said the word China.
Right.
And then the end with the weird type over, she's fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say she's fine, and then the doctor had to like reuse a cigarette from the ashtray next yeah. to the toy figures. You could tell they were definitely just like screwing around with stuff at some point. Like there was probably a bunch of stuff that was just an inside joke for them. But like yeah. a full body raptor with its just like full on camel hump while it's trying to do a fight the one time.
Yeah. It's, like,
oh, it was all absurd.
It was, it wasn't so bad. It was good. I will not say that. But I'm not going to give it is that that's the first one out of the gate. I'm not going to make that his first strike, but I should.
I mean, the first, well, one of the things that really was just terrible is like they couldn't just get like a piece of plastic for a collar. They, like the priest collars, they just sewed like some real floppy piece of fabric across their black shirt.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a black shirt. It was like, it looked like a graduation robe stretched tight.
Yeah. And they were wearing a rosary the entire time, which Catholic priests don't do.
And then the fight scene, I'm like, what were those guys doing while she was dying? They were just standing there like, oh.
Oh, you can see like anybody in the background when it's not. The camera's not focused on them.
Just there. Yeah. It's like, this is fucking horrible. And when she took him back, originally, when she took him back to the scene where she found him originally, and he's wearing one of her dresses. You know what I'm seeing? I'm talking about the orange freaking miniskirt thing.
Oh, was that one of her dresses? I looked away and I looked up. He was dressed like he was fucking Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yeah, that had to be. Yeah, because he woke up in her room basically, you know, in his underwear. And then she's like, no, true, you turned into a dinosaur. Here, I'll show you. And she took him out to the woods and showed him the dead guy that she threw leaves over.
Oh, you mean China, Vietnam?
No, that was the park in the city.
Right, but it was still all in the
same. Oh, all right, the same the same park. I get you. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was a better joke than
just everything.
Yeah, it was
like that whole unnecessary priest, like girl, just exploding in front of him. Like,
oh, his just backstory
with
oh god, with Ollie or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Let him know I never got shot once the entire war. Yeah,
and then
I mean
they're doing like
he opens with like the whole, yes, my parents have just died, and he's like, yes, that's what parents are supposed to do. That was how it consoled him.
Yeah. This guy's awesome. Oh, and when the parents drop him off, he goes, we'll pick you up after preschool.
Right. Like, and just the amount of fake laughing that all the cast had to do multiple times.
Oh, God. You know those people in that car were the director's actual parents. Yeah,
were they?
It had to be.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I was amazed that there was like 25 names at the end of people that did work on it, because it was written, directed, and edited by the same person.
Yeah. I'd like to see if that guy ever worked again.
You're really selling the idea that we can do this.
I mean, the entire time I thought, yeah, I would be one of these ridiculous over-the-top characters, because I feel like there's no acting to it. There's nothing. It's just,
honestly, I would just want you to show up and be Noman.
Yeah. And that's kind of what several of the characters were in the show.
And then in the next scene, be another Noman.
Yeah.
Just without actually murdering children.
Yeah.
Well, no promises.
Well, here's my thing.
Being as the children that would be involved would probably be ours. I mean, there's...
Well...
Please don't kill the kids.
That's when you just cut to mannequin head. Like, they took a bald mannequin head and super eyebrows on it to be the Chinese guy. Like... Ooh. It was terrible.
Yeah, there were some really hardcore stereotypes stereotypical stuff that was just offensive. So, yeah.
We can be offensive. We'll just let you talk.
But, you know, watch Good Will Hunting. There's no special effects or anything in that. That was all, you know, calmly shot. You know, those are just scenes and people reading lines. Yeah, the scene in the bar would probably be the most complicated just because all the extras. But write something real. Don't just make some bullshit velociraptor and make it corny on purpose just because you have to make a movie for class.
I don't think it's a movie for class. Like, no class is going to be like, make an hour and a half movie. Hour and 10 minutes.
It was.
This was definitely.
The poster looked better than the movie. But then once you see the movie and you look at the poster again, you're like, oh, yeah, that does look like shit. When I first, like the little thumbnail on Peacock or whatever.
Sure.
I first saw it, I'm like, okay, that doesn't look too bad. He's fighting ninjas. Okay, yeah, that's cool. And then you watch the movie and you realize what you were seeing in the poster or the thumbnail. And you're like, yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that his brother just happened to be hanging out with the same Chinese ninjas.
And then he becomes a Jedi.
Yeah.
As you do.
He becomes a Jedi and can summon the sword to his hand.
The other thing that was fantastic was the girl that was supposed to be the Chinese girl at the beginning that handed him the talon or whatever.
Yeah.
Was just wearing a karate gi.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even the same country. It was literally just, here's a karate gi. We'll just say you're
Chinese. The people that'll watch this movie won't know the difference.
I mean,
the people who are going to watch that movie won't care.
No. I mean, the only thing that could have saved it was a over the top sex scene. And there was one. And it was horrible.
Wait, was there?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Make out scene. There wasn't sex. You know, out of nowhere, a love story happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and I don't know about everybody, but after a night of passionate dinosaur sex, I always wake up in my underwear.
Yeah, you like to put all of your clothes back on to go back.
Back on right after the sex so you can fall asleep, yeah. So.
Yeah, a lot of women just like to put their bra directly back on to go to sleep.
Back on, and then, so and, you know, a lot of women sleep in their bra. Yeah, this happens. Hmm? All my wife, yeah, sleeps in a bra. No, absolutely not.
It's like the first thing that comes
socks,
off.
Yes, bra, day, no.
But like, no, it's so comfortable. We'll just sleep in it all night long.
Oh, I love this restrictor plate across my jet. Yeah. Do I blame them? No. Am I? Complaint? No. But
I mean, at that point,
it really ever happen?
I prefer the cheap, like, just covers pulled up to your chest look.
Yeah. Well, I think Florence Pugh, one of her people talking to her about nude scenes and stuff. And she goes, I will never do a scene where I have sex in a bra.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because she is, because that doesn't happen ever.
Yeah, they're getting real, it's not even creative. They're just getting real sloppy with, like, they've done it for years. I mean, it's not a new thing. It's not like,
no,
there's not a bunch of people doing it, but still, it's like, just take a little effort. Even if it's like, with how corny everything else was there, they could get real corny with the way they want to cover it up and be fine, but.
I was telling Jeff, I just went and seen Civil War.
What Civil War?
It's a movie, Civil War. It's about.
From Alex Garland. He's a British filmmaker.
Okay, I have no concept of it. What's is it like the American Civil War, or is it just...
No, it's like American Civil War now.
Oh, okay.
Texas and Florida and California secede from the Union, and then there's a big Civil War.
I heard about this, but like, I didn't hear like in a good light. Just in a somebody made this movie.
I seen previews for it, and it looked like that's going to be thought provoking.
Maybe. Well, the joke in there was like Texas and California are just suddenly working together in the Civil War.
No, they aren't. That's the misconception. They seceded separately,
but equally.
No, they're their own things. They're two different things. Okay. Florida tries and fails.
Well,
you know, through the story of the, a lot of this is our like already happened when you joined the movie. Florida tried seceding, was basically put down, slapped back into line, or whatever, however you want to say it. California is going strong and actually marching across the United States on their way to basically topple the U.S. government. I don't know how that works, but. The premise isn't super crisp, but is anybody going to go see this movie? I don't want to ruin it for you.
Not unless it's free, and at that point I don't care, so go ahead.
I have already fully done the thing I do where I read
all spoilers.
Yeah, I read all spoilers.
Okay. The one character is a young, like, wannabe war photographer, war journalist. And she idolizes Kirsten Dunst's character, who is an experienced war journalist, who has the only redeeming line in the whole movie, I think. She said she spent years taking pictures overseas to try to convince people in this country that it was a bad idea, and it didn't work. So, but in the end, they're storming the White House to get the president. You know, they're following along with the California, the Western forces, the Western Front, or whatever the fuck it's called, forces as they're going through. And the young girl jumps out when all the Marines or whatever jump back. And then the Secret Services are popping back out to shoot. And Kirsten Dunst runs up and pushes her back down the hallway, the same direction the bullets will be going. So she gets shot in the back and dies.
Huh?
Why don't you... There was plenty of room on the apron of this hallway. She could have run across, knocked the girl down, and they could have both fallen upper bodies behind the wall. But no, she ran, stopped, and pushed her down just so she could get shot in the back. And that's just lazy writing to me.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times people just get to that point where they're like, all right, well, they need to die here.
Yeah, we need to feel something. This character needs to die.
The guy that normally blocks our scenes is gone today, so why don't you just fall down?
Yeah, her death was ridiculous. There was a character's death earlier in, you know, just like a few scenes earlier, that means way more, and I cared about him way less. He was just there to be the opposition voice to Kirsten Dunst's character. And then, like 90% of the time through the charge through Washington, she's like shell-shocked and like hiding behind the walls and not taking any pictures. Meanwhile, the young girl is like jumping out behind the walls, taking pictures, you know, right. Bullets are ricocheting off the ground next to her. She's taking pictures, you know, and Kirsten Dunst's character is just hiding. I'm like, why is she hiding? What happened? Right. It's been a while since this other character died.
Like, you can't set it up like...
Yeah, there's no explanation for why she's feeling this way now. And then soon as the way gets clear so they can, like, go in the White House, she's just, like, business and super journalist and starts charging that way. And I'm like, well, okay, where who hit the switch? Where was the switch? Did somebody find the switch here? So, yeah, there was some development of certain characters that didn't happen, right, I think? Or some character arcs that kind of got muddled. But it was entertaining. It was horrific in the... Yeah, I could see this being us.
So I just thought about something. When we're talking to Chad about Velocipaster...
Yeah.
You should just reference scenes that weren't in the movie.
Just play like we didn't watch it?
Oh, no. Like, talk about the stuff we watched, but then just talk about extra scenes that weren't in the movie. When the Velociraptor killed, like, five of those hookers, I thought they really went overboard.
Yeah. I didn't really understand how the gray aliens fit into the story. Why were they there? Yeah, I think certain characters in that movie had arcs that didn't need them. The old bushy mustache preacher didn't need an arc.
Yeah, you don't normally have like double priest.
Yeah.
And like dude wasn't even like young enough to be like, oh, it's a brand new guy and he's doing whatever. Yeah,
he wasn't young enough to be the priest in training.
Yeah, it's absurd. I watched All the Light We Cannot See, which was like kind of good, but kind of like, I don't know.
All the Light. What is that?
It's got Mark Ruffalo. It's like World War II. He's got a blind daughter. And they're like protecting some crazy jewel from the Nazis. But she's also... like operating a radio, sending out signals to like let the Allies know where to bomb.
Okay.
But like just the ending was very much like, okay, well then why did all of this have to happen here, here, and here? Because they really just let it go right at the end there.
Yeah, they didn't know how to end it.
Well, no, they ended it fine as far as, like, the ending, that like, how all the character stuff wrapped up. But, like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to ruin it. I don't know if it's enough to, like, ruin anything. But, yeah, just the choice she makes at the end is, like, okay, why'd you do that? The rest of the movie was fine. I mean, it's one of those, like, slightly unbelievable that, like, oh, no, these people just happened to bump into each other that knew about all the same things.
Yeah.
So it's got that stuff going on, but, you know, nothing totally outrageous outside of what you expected them to have to do to be able to make it a story.
Did you watch the Fallout show?
No. I was going to start that, but I didn't have time to get all the way through it. So I.
That is the thing you've missed out on. I finished up other things.
Yeah.
I know. I've been hearing it's good. And like.
It really is. They did a very good job.
The other part of it is I did not play any of the games.
Doesn't matter.
I know it won't matter, but like at the same time. Had I played the game, I'd be moving it up my list a little more.
The lore of the world is really good.
She, like, Nicole has not played the games. She was able to, like, it got to the point where she just started asking questions.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really cool
world. What is that? Is that Amazon or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Amazon Prime.
And it's from the people who did Westworld.
Okay. I for the most part enjoyed Westworld.
And they would be fucking foolish if they did not give this a second season.
Oh, it's already greenlit.
Yeah, I thought it was announced, but
They hadn't announced it. The only thing they announced is that they were going to get like a massive tax credit if they moved to California.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, California's back to giving tax credits. Must be hurt.
Well, I think it's also that this was supposed to take place in California.
Yeah, it's all set in Santa Monica Pier where Vault 33 is.
I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean they filmed any movie where it was supposed to be.
That's the point. Yeah, they're like, come on. It's really interesting because having played some of the games, I haven't played all the games, but this is the first time you get to see like kind of the origins of Vault Tec. Mm. The company that basically owns the vaults or built the vaults.
Yeah, like I've got a lot of like random bits and pieces of like lore from just hearing other people talk about it or like, you know, still a popular game, but
it's a cool mythology. It's a cool premise to
I feel like I will watch it and then I will go watch some YouTube video where they explain all the lore.
Oh, and there's tons. Oh my God, there's so much. In the first episode, there's so much that is a callback.
I found
the cartoon the kids are watching on the show.
I found a really good article that listed out every vault and the experiment being conducted within.
Oh, those are gross. Yeah, I listened to a YouTube video that talks about all of them. Some of them are really sick. I think the worst one was the one where it can seal and they just basically all became ghouls.
Yeah.
Or the one where the YouTube video I watched actually referenced the Penny Arcade paid promo strip that they did for Fallout, where they made one vault where it was just one guy and a box of hand puppets, and he went insane and started creating personalities for all the puppets, and then when he left he basically killed people with the puppets, and he became basically a schizophrenic sociopath just started killing people out on the surface. But that was one of the vaults that they referenced as, because it's canon, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that was just Mike and Jerry writing that bullshit.
I mean, but you know that's like they would have used that in the game if they had thought of it before.
Oh yeah.
That would have been a fantastic one. Like, I know we talked about this way before, but like was it Twisted Metal with the clown and all the whatnot?
Yeah. Like, I saw
that was Anthony Mackie really
has a movie. Twisted Metal, right?
It was a series.
On Peacock.
Anthony Mackie was in it.
Yep.
But yeah, like that was a really good story that was made out of a video game. Like had all the stuff you'd want in there, and it was just like you didn't exactly need to know all of the lore behind it because they covered enough of it. But
I think that is the secret. If it's a lore intensive product like Fallout, somebody who has no idea what's going on should be able to sit down and at least identify with the character and follow the story of what's happening.
You have to start with a reasonable story, even if you have to take like a real small part of the world to do it in to start. Like,
yeah.
You can't just open up with, here's all the lore that we're going to spit at you in an opening 20 minutes.
Well, it was kind of cool because Lucy's opening monologue, she's like trying to basically petition to be the next person who interacts with the neighboring vault. Mm. And she's going through all the stuff that she has done, why she's a good candidate and all stuff. And it gives you a good glimpse of like what a vault is about.
Okay.
So yeah, even if you've never watched it, you get this snapshot of what it is, what life in a vault is about.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun and entertaining way to lay that out, basically.
Yeah, I'll probably start tonight, or at least get it queued up so that I remember to have it on my...
It's a good time.
So the first episode is 1 hour and 15.
Okay.
I was surprised by that
because they had the three characters they had to.
Yes. And it was, I didn't come into it expecting the ghoul to be as big of a character as he ended up being.
Yeah, I thought he was just going to be like a nemesis or something.
And no, he's a fucking lead. And
yeah.
And by God, I'm so glad that he was.
Yeah, he was a delight.
He's also quite horrific.
As you should.
Mm. That'll be next on the list then. Just trying to think. I mean, I watched the Three Body Problem, which like seemed promising at points, but just seemed like...
I know that's based on a novel or something, and...
Yeah.
And I got some passing criticism of it that they really dumbed down the story and it's really the one body problem. You know,
End. Okay.
By the end of their dumbing it down, it's just the whole premise of the story is missing. So I hadn't delved into it too much. Of course, I keep seeing articles like, if you love Fallout series, you would like this site. Here are some other sci-fi series you like. And one of the ones that was suggested was The Peripheral, I think was also on Amazon. And that was so fucking boring, I just stopped watching it.
I feel, the only reason I watched the season is because it had the tag that says another season was coming. And then I finished it and was like, oh, when's this next season coming? And then it's like, oh, it got canceled during the pandemic or during the writer's strike.
Yeah, so, it was so boring.
Like, I only watched it because it was apparently good enough to get another season and then they weren't going to do it. So I don't know if I found it so much boring. Like, it seemed like they had a good idea for the world.
It just moved so slow. I think I only got to... I mean, her brother was some kind of like... super special forces drone pilot or something.
Yeah, like his whole unit like shared brain function kinda.
Yeah,
so that was they all knew up. What everybody else was thinking.
And then she became some super like Neo in the virtual reality.
Yeah.
Which just made it feel like she had nothing at stake. And then it was just like, I don't care. Your lore dump is boring.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't get into it at all.
And like, it was another one of those super dumb problems where it's like, look, you've all murdered people because you're all soldiers and whatnot, and none of them will go murder the local drug lord who's just drinking at the bar.
Yeah.
Like, they could have solved the whole thing by shooting this one dude.
Yeah, somebody nut up and finish this.
Right. It's like, oh, I've killed so many people, I just couldn't possibly kill one more. Yeah.
Especially if he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he killed my whole family, but I don't know. I just swore off killing people. Proceeds to kill like five of the henchmen. It's always just stupid stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you're always saying, buy this book or whatever, because Ray did the art in it. There is a book that is coming out that I did the art for. From Bendin, and it is a potty book. I got to draw a little raccoon character going to the potty, thinking about going to the potty and washing his hands.
They do running have off human hands.
It's an existing book we had, but it had like simplistic stylized art that one of the girls from Denver did, I guess years ago, and they wanted to update it, so they had Rebecca do a cover, I guess a mock cover, a while ago, and they liked the character she did on the cover, and then there's another pose of the same character on the back. And basically, I had to take those two poses and create 5, 6, 7, 8 more poses to finish out the book.
So, okay, we like your work. Make Ray do it all.
Well, yeah. And basically, she was really busy. And the way, I did sketches for all these poses, and then I just put them on a copier and sent PDFs to my desktop. And much like I did all the art for Oakluck, I just had a sketch on a layer over, multiplying down, and I drew the shapes underneath to match my sketch and filled them with color.
All right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It turned out pretty cute.
You should buy copies of that and then take it to the convention.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rebecca's character design. So, she has really cute, like little cartoon anamorphic kind of characters. Some of the stuff she draws are like animals being animals, like a cat and dogs just in dog situations. But this was a raccoon that had to, wear a diaper. Go to a potty, wash his hands, stand on a stool. So it had to be a little more human. So I had to marry the two styles a bit. That is gross.
Is there a raccoon wedding?
No. You don't see the parents at all.
Okay.
It's just a raccoon. It's like POTTY, but you basically read the book in to the tune of BIGNGO. So POTTY. And now I go to pop. But yeah, it was cute. I was fucking excited to do it because I could sit there all day and just illustrate those things.
Toilets?
No, little anamorphic characters doing shit or taking shit, I guess, in this case.
That has been what you've worked on most of the time for us.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It was just chickens doing stuff. Not a lot of poop, but
I feel like now one of the strips is just going to have a random like raccoon on a toilet in the background.
This week's strip was almost that.
Did you already send it? Like the one that's already posted, or
the one that's already posted? That's Kevin opening the doors.
Right.
No, this was it was going to be, I still might use it. I still may do it, but Goff is like kind of falling asleep at work, and he's like, I'm sorry, I just can't get any rest. I've been having these nightmares. And Kevin's like, oh, nightmares, yeah. The reason I abandoned, I couldn't figure out how I got there. But the punchline was, and if you ever see a toilet in your dream, don't trust it. Or don't use it. So, which is true. If you ever see a toilet in your dreams, whatever you do, don't use it. But yeah, I didn't know how the conversation got there. And the one I did do this week, that came from a conversation with Karen and Elizabeth. I was sitting in a living room. Elizabeth was talking about her roommate, how she's such a horrible driver. So whenever they go anywhere, she has to drive because she cannot stand to ride with Mercy. Her roommate, Mercy, is a horrible driver. And I'm like, well, you had a superior driver, driving instructor. And Karen said, yes, you did. And I was like, what? And Elizabeth's like, yep. And I'm like, wait, it was me. And they're like, we know. And I'm like, holy shit. So
what? Oh, you were shocked because everyone was acknowledging you.
Yeah. I said, you know, I was superior instructor, you know, taking credit for, you know, her being a better driver than her roommate. And both of them agreed. And I was shocked. So that's where the idea for the punchline, it was completely used differently in Kevin's case. But that was me. It came from that conversation.
All right. So do we know how far along we are in Chad's thing?
No.
Okay.
We are in the first room, if you will, of his story, which is, I think he said, is going to be several rooms.
Oh, that's right. He did.
I mean, so
we haven't left the first area. And I think the longer we take in this area, it might limit the number of areas we have afterwards.
But this area was huge because we had several fights.
Well, that and we've turned little things into big things.
We had a fight every quarter mile.
Yeah. And we've had some serious panic attacks about stuff. So, or at least I have.
I just like the idea that we're fighting while we're basically looking over at the next thing we're going to fight in the dungeon.
Yeah. I'm excited about this trap we have laid for this encounter coming up. Jeff's
what we did.
Jeff's running a mage hand through the brush. I got a wild turkey illusion and
I popped out some stunk skank.
Yeah, and the dwarf is playing dead possum.
Yeah. So
We're gonna about to open up a can of whoop ass on these old fucker.
I feel like I'm getting trolled here. I might have went up and used the restroom or something the last few minutes.
No, that's...
You do not remember that we set that up at the end of the night? Like, that was... Like, we're about to roll initiative when we start.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that has never changed my actions before, but...
Yeah. Big guy laid down in the path. And and then we just set up around him.
And I was thinking this week that I had sent my pet out to look for these people that were coming. So my pet should be behind them. So once we roll initiative, my first action is going to be the pet flying up invisible behind them as I scream and my voice comes through the pet.
I mean, so, I definitely remember.
They're going to be looking in every direction for what the fuck's happening, and we're just going to explode them. But yeah, he's given us plenty of room to be paranoid and be strategic.
Yeah.
Is anybody watching X-Men 97?
I plan to. I just am not yet.
Okay. I warn you, episode 4 or 5 is gut wrenching.
What is this on even?
Disney.
Okay. Is it like a cartoon or is it?
It's a cartoon based on the X-Men series from 1997. It's basically they just picked up where they left off and it's in that time frame being told then. Just a new. It's.
That was from, like Prime Wolverine in his yellow suit.
Wolverine in yellow, Gambit, Rogue, Storm.
Right.
Bishop was in there. Magneto, Cyclops, Jean Grey, all that stuff.
I think that but is it was a series that I did watch for.
Yeah. It of all the X-Men series, because he had X-Men Evolution and all that. It was the it's the most fan favorite.
Sure.
So I think that's why they resurrected it. Yeah.
I think that was the one that was usually on like the most basic of TV.
Yeah, it was Saturday mornings, yeah.
Yeah. And then but everything else was like meh.
It's really well done. And the animation is decent. It's a little choppy in some places, but it's forgivable for quality of a story that they're doing. So,
okay.
So it's worth it. Yeah. I watched. I think new episodes come out on Tuesday, so there should be a new episode today that I haven't watched.
Oh, I watched The Nice Guys. It's got Russell Crowe and
Gosling.
Gosling. Oh, yeah. I've seen that
like
previous.
From like 2016, but like it just popped up as whatever series it's on, like show platform that it's on now.
Yeah.
It just came back too, so it popped up for me. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I liked the trailers when this came out, and I just never got around to watching it. And like, yeah. I don't know, I enjoyed it because halfway through you realize they're not taking it seriously and it's just absurd, and it gets just absurd.
Okay,
but like, just Ryan Gosling in there is fantastic because he almost always is. And Russell Crowe did a very good job. He didn't phone it in like some of the stuff you see him doing. And like, I don't know. You could tell that they meant to make it a very like mid-grade type of movie, and they succeeded at that. Like, they weren't trying to win awards with it. They weren't trying to go big budget. They were just trying to make a weird kind of buddy cop type thing. And
the movie like that. That I like is Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, the other guys.
Yeah.
I like that one. When Will Ferrell hits him in the face with that wooden gun, just fucking kills me every time. Just fucking kills me. That's quality shit. Yeah, I've seen that Nice Guys like pop up as, you know, on the new or recommended or what, and it's just never been one I'm like pulled the trigger on. So maybe I'll try it.
I think I only watched it because I saw that he was on Saturday Night Live and everybody seemed to love it, and then it was like, oh,
I'm addicted to those Saturday Night Live encounter skits.
Oh, the alien ones?
The alien, the Santa Claus, the sure. Oh god, there's a dozen of them, and she's fucking hilarious in every single one.
It's funny because
McKenna, she's so fucking funny.
Yeah, I mean, it stinks that she's not there. Like, she has to come back every time they want to do one of those sketches.
She like, left. I didn't know she wasn't on casting.
Yeah,
I don't watch Saturday Night Live regularly. So
she was carrying them for so many years that
yeah,
she finally said, "You know what? I can do better."
Yeah, she's fucking hilarious. Oh my god, she was. There was that movie, Christmas Party or Office Christmas Party. It had Jason Bateman and Olivia Munn, and where it was just like chaotic and everything goes wrong. She plays the HR director in that, and she's a fucking nut. Oh my god, she's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, she played like that weird Barbie in the Barbie movie.
Yeah, perfect.
And it was exactly what you would want her to do in a role.
Yeah. She was weird Barbie, yeah. But yeah, she is hilarious.
I was going to say, like, I got a random, like, grab bag of shirts, and, like, because the one company makes really soft shirts in Columbus. And they actually, I got one of the shirts of her going, it was a little different for me. Well, they have like a alien.
Well, every time she has like a name for crotch.
Yeah.
My tutor and my pooter or whatever she fucking says.
Kills me. Because she always ends up coming back without pants.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm bare-assing it through. Oh, God.
Yeah, because, like, you could tell, like, the first one they did was just kind of like, well, that was a weird one. And then the cast seemed to like it enough, but they're like, cool, we're just going to make all the new guests do it. Because it usually ends up being whoever the host is, the other person. Yeah.
The best is there's one with Ryan Gosling, and she's, like reenacting some event in her abduction, and she's, like, on him, and he is just biting the inside of his cheek not to bust out laughing, and she's just like right on top of him, just doing this, talking straight face, just delivering it. I think that's the bet. That's what makes her so funny, is she can do the absurd stuff and say the most ridiculous shit, and people will bust up around her, and she just keeps delivering it.
Yeah. I didn't watch like the whole Saturday Live episode yet, but I saw like one of the, like, usually the Monday morning they always link something, and they did the Beavis and Butthead sketch.
I saw some horrific makeup, and I'm not watching that. I know what that is, but that is disturbing as fuck to look.
No, it is a fantastic sketch, just for the fact that everyone in that scene breaks up. Except for Keenan. Like, Keenan's the only one that keeps a straight face, and he's like one of the main guys in it. And everyone else, just every time they turn around and look at him, looking like Beavis, they just bust up.
Okay.
And it's fantastic, just if you like, because I love those scenes where the people just start breaking right in the middle of it. And it just becomes absurd. Like, there's so many of those, like, last two sketches of the night stuff where it's just. This was a bad sketch that was just made fantastic because nobody could get through it straight-faced.
Yeah, everybody's spent. Everybody's laughed their asses off, and they just don't have it to hold it back anymore. Yeah,
slap happy, and they did that one last bump of coke to get through the show.
I did see something about Saturday Night Live. They were talking about Wayne and the scene where they do the Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. And the one part at the end of the song where it's real, you know, very melodic and everybody's singing, and they cut to Dana Carvey, who has no idea what the words are, and he's just moving his mouth. And he was so mad because they left that in, because he goes, it looks like I don't know the words. And they're like, that's perfect. That's right. What makes it funny. Shut up.
Because what was the... In the guitar shop, was it Stairway to Heaven? What was the thing they were?
Yeah, no Stairway to Heaven. Yeah.
Apparently he actually played it correctly, and they just had to take out like 3/5 of the chords because they would have gotten sued for having the song in the movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, he played it fine, and then they just in post cut out parts of it, so it sounds like he's doing a terrible job.
Yeah. They another thing about that, the directors that did that scene with Bohemian Rhapsody and all of them in the car, they're like, no one's going to know this song. It's too fucking old. I guess Michael Myers is like, no, it has to be this song. It's the only thing that's going to cover all these emotions and it's going to make this car ride fit is this song. And they're like, okay. And it's like the most epic part of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that I always remember from the movie. And
I mean, that and when Dana Carvey falls and he says, I fell on my keys. They're in his pocket. I'm like, I've done that before. I've fallen down and fucking Charlie like, the shit in my pocket.
Even that, I don't think I've seen it in like 20 years. Like, I didn't go back and rewatch it. So most of the stuff is just like, I probably didn't get most of the references. And
there was stuff
like, because I watched it first when it first came out. And
let's do the Scooby-Doo ending.
I don't remember most of that.
Yeah. But yeah, the Bohemian Rhapsody in the car is the best scene of the movie, and that's the part, that's the scene that they had the most arguments over. Funny how that shit works.
I mean, I wonder how many people listen to Queen now because of that. Like,
oh yeah, how many people didn't know what it was until they heard that?
Because
they might have heard parts of it, but they'd never heard the whole. Because they play practically the whole song right in that
clip. Well, it's like, other than people overplaying like We Are the Champions, it's real hit or miss on whether or not you're going to hear that and a bunch of other stuff.
That was one of my favorite things to listen to while I'm at work, is those reaction videos of people listening to a song for the first time, like people listening to AC/DC or hearing Bohemian Rhapsody the first time, and they're just like, what the fuck is it's changing now? Yeah. Because there's
so weird that
there's five musical shifts in that song, and it's right. 6 fucking minutes long. And if you've never heard it before, you're like, wait, this is all one song? What you're telling me this is one?
Like, so, when you listen to classic rock, sometimes, you don't want to sit through it, but like, just the amount of random solos that happened in songs that played on the radio.
Yeah. And the weird shifts. I mean, Master of Puppets has that weird break where it just gets all quiet and kind of, and then it tears back into the guitar riff. So, people don't know that. Yeah. They just hear the beginning.
But yeah, there's so many of those ones that it's just like, if you didn't grow up listening to like any classic rock, it would seem just completely out of place compared to anything in the last 20 years.
Yeah, there's a movie, I think it's on Netflix, called Metalheads. It's about a kid in high school.
Oh,
like plays the drums.
Kids. Yeah, I watched that. That was good.
He's hanging out with the guy who's like super heavy metal. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
And like the one of the main theme songs of that is War Pigs. I mean, it's
funny. That was a series, wasn't it?
No, it's just a movie.
Oh God, that seems so long. Okay.
Yeah, that's like one of my, that's when we talk about comfort movies, that's one of my.
Yeah, like they hit all the boxes that they needed to hit.
Metal Lords.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that movie. This brings back that classic rock stuff. I mean, and I think the granddaddy of You Didn't Know That Song was School of Rock. There's so many references to old songs. You listen to that. Or watch that movie and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about it. But my kids were like, what is this? That's a TikTok sound or TikTok song.
Oh.
that's where they know
all they know it
from. Yeah. And it's just some little riff they hear on their phone when they're watching dumb movies.
Like, there were so many songs that I realized I liked more because of, like, Guitar Hero. Because some of the, like, when you're trying to play through some of that stuff, and then it's like, oh, yeah, now when you listen to it on the radio, it's like, oh, yeah, this was really hard to play Guitar Hero.
Yeah, you have some appreciation for it.
Like, I mean, I never thought, like, hey, I could do that at any point because I'm just not musically inclined. But, like, when it's like, oh, remember how fast everybody had to move on this part and the, like, sheer amount of, like, back and forth. And
that one time I actually made through this flawless.
Right. Like, the range of where they have to move around to be able to hit all the notes because they didn't take the easy way out and just make it really repetitive or something dumb like that.
Yeah, I know nothing about guitar and everything, but then I watched people play it, you know, and they play that intro part, and then that little device records it and repeats it for them so they can play the more intricate things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing until I actually saw somebody play guitar, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. Because I didn't know how to play a fucking guitar.
So, well.
And here I'm saying that thing, that pedal, whatever. I don't even know what those things are called. But
right.
I seen it in motion, so I can kind of suss out what it was.
There were quite a few people that, like, I watched a couple YouTube videos of them showing how they can just layer and layer and layer a bunch of stuff on and make some pretty cool stuff out of it.
Yeah. They're,
and especially back in the day when they had to create all this from scratch because, like, the technology didn't exist.
Yeah. When the first time I kind of understood that was the girls were in high school and they have the May Follies or whatever it is, where it's basically just a talent show. Anybody can sign up and do it. Okay. And this one kid that was like a year older than them in high school was like big into guitar, and he went up and his, you know, entry was playing guitar, and he just went off. Came out and was just doing a simple little thing, and you see him hit the pedal, and then he's doing something else, adding on, and he hits the pedal and adds more to it. By the end, he's just doing these wah, you know, shit, and it's this whole orchestra behind him, basically. And I was like, damn. But you have to play that perfectly, and you have to hit it at the right time to time the next thing into it. And, you
know, right.
It's not cheating, it's just the way it's done, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't mean to, now don't mean to try to sound it, make it sound cheap or anything, but that was just a eureka moment for me, I guess, you know, being, you know, 45 years old and not understanding how fucking electric guitar works. But
yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people that, like, just, I don't know. They make it look so easy sometimes. And
yeah,
it's really super difficult.
They're sad.
And then the one part that seems like it would be harder, but it's like, oh, no, that's the easy part. You learned that, like, week two.
There's that, like, music video for AC/DC for Thunderstruck. And Angus is just, he's sitting, he's got his right hand up doing the devil horns. And his left hand is just up on the neck of the guitar, just hitting these strings and playing that opening part to Thunderstruck. I'm like, how does he do that just with his fucking fingers up there? So, yeah. Like, how the fuck is that possible? That's fucking magic.
Yeah, I don't have any of the finger dexterity to, like, every time I've tried to play guitar, it's like, nope.
Well, here's the thing. Playing guitar requires two hands. And my left hand is a stump. I've stated this many times. I can't do shit with my left hand. It is there to hold the phone while I do something with my right hand.
Right. Yeah. So, wouldn't have been good.
Yeah. All my points are in drawing, and I'm not really master at that even. So.
Hey, you picked a style and you stuck with it, and that's the important thing.
That's what took me 40 years to realize. It's not being better than everything I see as being the best I can produce.
Yeah, but the last 200 years have been pretty sweet.
Yeah. Thanks, asshole. Someday you'll be old too.
I mean, I'm getting there.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want Jeff to feel bad, but I think ever since we worked on his brakes, I fucked my back up. Because every once in a while, it's just, I can't take a deep breath without my back hurting. Mm. I need to like go to the chiropractor and crack this shit out. But yeah, I think yanking on that one tire.
I mean, it did kind of really it did wreck us both, for what it's worth.
No, I'm not complaining. I think we did good work there, but I think I pulled something when I was trying to pull your car off the jack that one time. We will be smarter next time because we know there could be a screw holding this thing off. That was the big hurdle, I think.
Well, if I am going to be useful at all tomorrow night, I am going to need to go.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. I think we rambled enough.
Yeah.
Covered enough, and Chad has some shit to answer to about this Velocipastron.
I mean,
I think it's time to put
the pasture. I totally see why he likes it, but there's also a reason why we don't have a lot of overlap in the things we like.
Yeah. So I think American Ultra was worlds better than
his. Oh, yeah. I don't think that was an argument, though. Like, better Chad was watching it for the quality. I think it was the lack of quality, which is why he was watching it.
Yeah, his fever for the lack of quality is strange to me.
He's like a weird quality hipster. Like, if there's quality, he just doesn't like it.
Yeah, and if there's closure, he hates it. He wants open-ended shit. That's what he wants. Don't taper it.
Campier the better.
Slam it shut.
Yep.
You are not wrong.
Okay. Right. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.
See you, boys.
Later.